Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to be busy today, so let's jump right into it. We're going to visit with Curtis Hill, Project 21 ambassador. He also once served as Indiana's attorney general, and he'll discuss the legacy that Charlie Kirk leaves behind and why, as a black man, he shares Charlie's much-quoted concerns about DEI, and we'll talk about the misinformation that's being put out by a lot of folks. Arthur Sturbkow joins us, local real estate analyst, new school policy at Tulane, where students have to live on campus for their first 3 years of their attendance. This is a move that we have seen across the country relative to universities because the ROI on housing is pretty damn good. And this change, though, is going to have a significant impact to the real estate market in uptown New Orleans, and we'll visit with Arthur and talk about that. We'll visit with Michael Heck at 1110, president and CEO of G&O Inc., as we do every Wednesday, and he brings with him a special guest, John Renthrop, a New Orleans native entrepreneur and brewmaster who founded Cajun Fire Brewing Company, the first Native American-owned beer brand in history, and the second longest continuously operating black-owned beer brand in the world, 13 years. Some real interesting names of their beers as well. Looking forward to that conversation. Michael Sadelaine joins us from the Herbert and Florence Irving Professor of Medicine, Director of Columbia University Initiative in Cell Engineering and Therapy. Four pioneering researchers were awarded a prize in their role in developing CAR T-cell therapy to fight blood cancer with chimeric antigen receptor cell therapy works. And we'll talk about how that works and why it has really been so proficient in the treatment of cancer. We're going to start out with a little bit of a disagreement as it relates to a federal grant for curbside recycling. And joining us is Sydney Torres from Ivy Waste. Sydney, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Noel.
So, Sydney, this is allegedly a $3.9 million federal grant dating back to 2023. The funds need to be spent by March of 2026. It went before a committee for approval. It passed. It now goes to the council, and this changes the way that we do this from opting in, meaning putting your name on a registry that you want to recycle garbage, to assuming that everybody wants to and you need to opt out now. And you say that this is going to be a capacity problem for the city. Tell us why.
Well, it's more than a capacity problem. The city has a $100 million deficit, and at the end of the day, this is going to be, if somebody gives you a racehorse that's worth $500,000, that doesn't mean it's free. You got to pay for the stable, you got to pay for the food, you got to pay for the vet, you got to pay for the jockey, and that's what's going to happen here. When the grant runs out, first off, we did a poll with Ron Fauché. 85% of the people that we polled said they don't want it. They don't want a can dropped in front of their house. We have a perfectly operating 311 system. Anybody who wants a recycling can go to the 311 system, register. The city will bring your can, no problem. I think that system works great. It's wonderful. It's been working. This is a plan that was done under the Biden administration with LaToya Cantrell's administration to get this grant. They did no outreach with any of the neighborhood groups. That's all I've been doing is talking to neighborhood groups. And they don't know anything about it. They're not happy with it. They don't want it. And I want to correct you there. The council, the committee didn't approve it. When they brought this up to the committee, there were all kind of people frustrated that there was no outreach with the stakeholders involved. And so what they did was they didn't recommend going forward with it or not, but it is going, it was supposed to go forward to the council tomorrow. I'm not sure that's still going to happen. I'm hearing some things that it might be pushed off. But at the end of the day, this is a bad, bad idea. Currently, they can't even enforce the law about bringing your cans in after service day, and there's carts scattered all over the street. For $1.5 million, you can't educate. Look at the litter all over the interstates. Look at the roads. Look at the roadways. $1.5 million to educate in a year's time is not enough time to educate. And you can't force people to do this. And what's going to happen is currently the current facility that's here in New Orleans shuts down. It was shut down 40 days out of a six-month period. And that causes not just myself, but Richard's Disposal, Waste Pro, to have to store materials or bring it to Baton Rouge. And all of us, the three contractors, are completely opposed to this plan. They've all expressed this to the sanitation director and Greg Nicholson. I heard him on earlier. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come on and tell the full story. This is a horrible idea. The city's got a $100 million deficit, and they really need to get all the facts on this and do community outreach and redirect this grant. They have until the end of March. They're trying to rush it through because they're worried about Trump pulling it and they're worried about losing it. But you shouldn't force something that is not going to work and not have community engagement.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. They're worried about the PR around this grant expiring and them not spending it. You know, because I a lot of people spend a lot of time talking about the city's ability to receive all of this grant money. They claim that of the $4 million that they $3.9 million that they're going to receive, about it would cover new plastic carts and 10,000 black recycling carts, and it would pay for a 10-year master plan. But what happens when the grant runs out? The sanitation department's running a projected $35 million deficit this year, ran a $20-something million deficit last year, and a $14 million deficit the year before. Where's the money going to come from? And anytime they tell me that what they divert from the landfill is going to make up the difference is bullshit in my mind. Your thoughts?
No, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is all like an addict not wanting to see that he has a problem. I mean, it's like you've got all the experts telling them and that there's issues with this, and they don't want to hear it. All they want to do is force. We don't want to lose the money. What they're not looking at, the sanitation department is going to be on the hook for these 85% of the people that were pulled that don't want it to go and pick these cans up after they pay somebody to deliver them with this grant. And it's going to end up costing the taxpayers. They have no numbers on this. They have no budget on exactly how much this is going to cost. And believe it or not, a lot of these council members are getting it. They're understanding it. They're hearing it. They're visualizing this. They see the deficit in the sanitation department and how bad it is. And there's a new mayor coming in, new council coming in. This is an absolute rush job, and they need to pump the brakes, give it time to really study this program and see what's the long-term effect. Because just because somebody wants to give you something, you got to look at the long-term cost of this, Newell, and they're not doing that.
Well, you know, these grants, they all do this. You start a program, but you got to have a plan in place if you're going to keep it going, right?
Correct.
What the hell does 83,000 plastic cart, you know, rolling plastic carts do for us?
That's the thing. And the bigger issue is can you imagine walking out on your street? And a lot of these people in Lakeview, Uptown, and even, you know, through the Ninth Ward, New Orleans East, I couldn't believe the amount of people in New Orleans East that don't want this. They said, right now, we walk outside, you might have one or two cans on our block that people have. And I said, well, I've been calling neighborhood groups, talking to all these people. And I said, well, would you want one? Would you use it if it gets dropped off? We don't have a second can in our house to separate plastic. We're not going to be washing out milk cartons to put in the can. So it's going to get contaminated. And the sanitation department's like, oh, we're going to put an OOP sticker on it. And then the second week you go pick it up, you put another OOP sticker. The city's going to report and write a ranger or get them to write a note to the person who put the contamination. And then we're going to send somebody from the sanitation department to go pick these up. Do you think these people in New Orleans are going to listen to an OOP sticker and deal with this? That there's other bigger problems like paying bills and dealing with living life.
Well, it's not even just in the city of New Orleans. The tendency is you don't see that done just about anywhere here, right? Let me ask you this question. My gut tells me if you gave the choice to the citizens of the city of New Orleans between doing this recycling deal and a second pickup, overwhelmingly they're going to tell you, we want our second pickup back. Your thoughts?
Oh, we hear that. We hear that all the time. I do have to say that, honestly, we priced it both ways. There's not a lot of people that need it, but there are a lot of people that want it back because they feel like they're paying for it. They have not really been educated on the fact that the cost just went up nationwide on hauling garbage, period, and it's gone up everywhere, Jefferson, all through the region. So it's not anything that is just to New Orleans, but they were not even educated when it went from twice a week to once a week, and so they feel like, well, we're already paying for twice. You cut our service. So, yeah, I mean, throwing out these cans, I'd much rather educate people about the once a week they can get a second can or discussions about twice a week. But, I mean, this is not well thought out. This is a rush job. It's all about losing the grant, and they need to pump the brakes and get community engagement involved because a lot of these people throughout these neighborhood groups are not for it, and they don't want it.
So, you know, I've been a little critical of all of a lot of the rhetoric around what's being talked about by not only the mayoral candidates, but, you know, the council folks. And this is a classic example of there's not a plan in place. I mean, when you're running a deficit, as you point out, we can't even figure out what that deficit is. I mean,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And running a deficit and we're going to take some money. We're going to spend it. Most of it is going to go into goods in order to provide the service, very little money to provide the service. And it's like, how do they make a presentation and even consider this or be willing to bring it before the body when there's no plan? I mean, it's like, how are you going to pay for this? I mean, a lot of this is great. It's wonderful. It's aspirational, you know, but we don't have the money. It's not there.
If you look at Jefferson Parish, they canceled recycling because there's no money in the deal for that. And I know that River Birch does a great job out in Jefferson, but there's no recycling there. People are canceling recycling all over because it's very costly to do. At the end of the day, 52% of the city recycles right now in our area. And out of the 52% that recycles, 25 to 30% of that is contaminated currently. Instead of going out and dropping 83,000 carts, why don't we use the money for education? If we can go back to EPA, renegotiate the deal and educate the current people who are recycling through the 311 program, because they're contaminating the loads right now. Get the people who are doing it right. Get the foundation strong. But yet you want to go and throw 83,000 carts on top of a system that's already 25 to 30% aren't following it, and they know the rules of how to do it. Can you imagine what's going to happen when you drop 83,000 for people that didn't want them, that are used to twice a week? What are they going to use this for? They're going to use it for garbage. And guess who's going to be on the hook for that? The hauler. And guess what? The facility here cannot handle it with that much volume, so we're going to be bringing it to the landfill anyway because we're not going to be able to handle it. So it's just a waste of money.
Yeah. Well, we'll see whether or not the council is going to take this under consideration. I suspect they will not, and I think it's prudent for them to wait, quite frankly.
I agree. I agree.
I wouldn't vote on anything where you're spending this type of money, whether it be grant money or otherwise, if there's not a 10-year plan out there that's being proposed or something along those lines as to how you're going to finance this until you can figure out how much in the hole you actually are.
I agree with you, Newell. And you got to look at the stakeholders that are pushing this. The guys who are pushing this are like the Recycling Foundation and these individuals that work with the Sanitation Department. They're all coming out speaking in favor of it, whether they work for Mardi Gras for the city and they want to, you know, help out the Sanitation Department to promote this. These stakeholders like the Recycling Foundation, they're after 5 or 6 months, they get their money, they're gone. They don't have to deal with New Orleans anymore in this deal. And they can't point to one thing that or one area that has this size that they've ever done this in. I mean, we've asked to let us fly out there and meet with the individuals, and they're like, oh, well, we need to be there to connect you to them. You can't go meet with them by yourselves. Why? Because you don't want them to tell us the truth. And that's the bottom line. So, look, I agree with you. I hope the council defers this. I hope they really let the new administration and the other council members that are coming in make this decision, but it needs to be more community engagement. There needs to be more studying, more budgeting, and we really need to look at not developing another department for recycling and adding more employees when we got a $100 million deficit, and the sanitation department is one of the biggest culprits of the deficit. So why are you adding a whole new department and going to put a plan out like this without any facts and getting all the facts to the council and the residents of the city of New Orleans?
These are what I call sound bites, Sydney. You know, people that just engage in these sound bites, they get the clicks, it feels good. You know, people, oh, man, that's great. Yeah. And then, 3 months later, you're sitting before a council meeting and the whole financial picture is turned upside down. There's 100%. No ROI. There's no diversion of garbage from, the landfills. And no one ever tells you what the actual cost per unit, whatever unit they use in the trash business, actually is.
In arrears.
There's never a look back to say, this is what it actually costs for us to get rid of 10 pounds of recycled whatever, in the year 2024.
It's a bunch of it's a bunch of clickbait type stuff, words that people grab onto. But when it comes time to seeing, when the rubber meets the road, the amount of research that needs to be done, like when you were sheriff, and I know as a businessman, I have a bunch of businesses, and my people come to me and say, hey, we want to switch payroll companies. Do you think I'm just going to do that? Absolutely not. I want to know what's the long-term effects, who's going to do the implementation, the execution, what's the cost, on all the fees. I mean, I'm not just going to push a button and go forward because some salesman is pushing me on doing something like that. And I think we have a smart enough council to know not to fall for this, and hopefully they push this off and we can redirect this grant if it doesn't get canceled, to education and beefing up the 311 system so that we can get people to register and focus on building a facility that can handle the capacity, because right now the one that we have here is not big enough to handle it.
Well, there's no doubt that this council has been educated under the Cantrell administration, that you don't trust much of anything that comes there, and you got to go figure it out for yourself, because they have spent the last 4 years trying to remediate decisions and presentations like this one. And that's why they're not going to vote on this tomorrow.
Right. And that's why it's so frustrating. You hear these candidates like out there saying, oh, well, the council has been chaos. And no, the council has been doing a lot to stop the chaos and really to commit our city to things that we're already needing to clean up. That's going to take a long time to clean up. So at the end of the day, they're doing their job. The Supreme Court acknowledged that when they ruled on the French Quarter deal. And at the end of the day, I think this needs to pump the brakes, give it time to breathe, let everybody get engaged. We have until March. The election's October 11th, and then we can decide how we move forward.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for spending some time with us this morning on this very important issue before we go stepping into this quagmire, like many others that we have. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Noel.
All right. That's Sydney Torres, Ivy Waste. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. Folks, four pioneering researchers were just awarded the 2025 Merkin Prize in Biomedical Technology for their role in developing CAR T-cell therapy to fight blood cancer, chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy works by reprogramming a patient's own immune system to attack the cancer. And here to explain it to us is Dr. Michelle Sadelain, the Herbert and Florence Irving Professor of Medicine, Director at Columbia Initiative in Cell Engineering and Therapy. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Neil. Nice to meet you.
So congratulations on getting this recognition. Tell us how this CAR T-cell therapy works and why it is such a breakthrough in cancer treatment.
Well, you already gave a very good introduction. CAR therapy is an immunotherapy, which means it relies on our immune system to fight the disease. The disease here is cancer. Very important to the immune system are cells that are called T cells. These are the T cells that protect us against viral infections in particular. And they try to fight cancer, but most of the time, unfortunately, they lose the battle. And so the idea behind CAR T cell therapy is to teach or instruct those T cells to do what we would like those T cells to do. And that is to say, that they should be able to identify in the body the cancer cells wherever those cancer cells are hiding. And once they latch on to those T cells, once they latch on to those cancer cells, they should proceed to kill them. And so this is accomplished by giving an instruction to those T cells, which means introducing a gene so that these T cells produce the CAR molecule, and it's the CAR molecule that tells those T cells what to do.
So if you would, for the benefit of listening audience, the difference between blood cancers and other types of cancers. So, and then, you know, where have we seen the success? What type of cancers have we seen the successes in utilizing this new approach?
Yes. So there are many kinds of cancers. You know, there's hundreds of types of cancers. And some of them originate from our blood system, if you like. And some of them originate in different organs, you know, in the kidney, in the breast, the prostate, or the brain. So when we started working on these CAR T cells, we identified a target molecule that we wanted these CAR T cells to recognize. And we settled our eyes on something called CD19, which is a molecule found in a number of leukemias and lymphomas. And so much of the work has gone into making this work for those kinds of leukemias and lymphomas. And there are today 5 CAR therapies targeting CD19 that have been approved by the U.S. FDA. So you have to target different molecules for different cancers. And so a lot of researchers today are looking for other molecules other than CD19 that would be well suited for different cancers. And so this takes time, and this is ongoing now. And fortunately, today, we don't have a handful of laboratories working on this, but literally hundreds of laboratories working on this around the world, looking for ways to make CAR T cells work in a broader range of cancers.
There are some cancers that are a lot more difficult to treat utilizing what's available today. Is there an approach of trying to address those early onset or not? And I noticed that in some of the information provided me that there are clinical trials going on for pancreatic cancer.
Yes. So all cancers are hard to treat. But you're right, some are harder to treat than others. You know, cancers figure out ways to protect themselves from an immune attack, right? That's why they outsmart our immune system most of the time. And that's why we need to develop immunotherapies that can do better than what a natural T cell might be able to do. So there are a number of obstacles that have been identified through research by many. You know, how the blood flows into the tumor, how the T cells may get inside the cancer or may be excluded from it, there are cells that next to the cancer cells that protect the cancer. So today we have a pretty good roadmap of what needs to be done to perfect the design of these CAR T cells so that they can take on these harder to treat cancers. So this takes research. It then takes clinical trials. Sometimes a clinical trial will be successful. Sometimes you just learn about one more obstacle. You go back to the drawing board and you come back with the next generation of the CAR T cell design. And it's through this process that we believe that we will eventually succeed against a large number of cancers.
Obviously, when you get recognition like the 2025 Merkin Prize, I guess that highlights the importance of this. But what, from your perspective, what does it mean for you and your research team?
I'm grateful that you mentioned the team. This award was, which I'm sharing with Isabel Riviere and Carl June and Bruce Levine, is not just for us, but for the teams that worked with us for many years. I have to emphasize, before we knew this would succeed. So imagine the dedication and the courage it takes to invest all of your time and effort in something that might or might not work. So it's a great recognition for all of our teams. But I think it also highlights, and I think this is part of what Dr. Richard Merkin wants to achieve, is to bring attention to the larger public about how medical breakthroughs come to be. And they often, most of the time, start in research labs, in medical centers or in universities, trying out things. You know, in research, most things don't work out or don't work out right away. And at some point, some of these projects will lead to tomorrow's breakthrough.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading an article that, the kind of what you describe as trial and error, that today there may be a study or whatever that, for lack of my understanding of the terminology, would be considered at this point not very rewarding or a failure. But it doesn't mean that at some other point there's pieces and parts of the information within this study that provides a basis for something that happens later on. And in this same article, they talked about one of the challenges for researchers, and I'm curious if this is in fact the case from your perspective, is that we don't really have a collective database where all of these studies are reported to, where development of AI, that we would be able to go through this to kind of create these linkages of these pieces and parts of information. It may be very important to different research teams around the world. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's a great question. And actually, before the advent of AI, our researchers have long lamented that we don't report failed experiments. By failed experiments, I mean an experiment that was well-designed, well-justified, but didn't give, the results that you were hoping to find. And that's really the daily bread of researchers. You know, once in a while, something really works, and then you really push it. But especially if it's very novel, if it doesn't fit, the current way of thinking, if it uses very new tools that we have barely used before, there will be so many unknowns that it's to be expected that it doesn't work right away. And unfortunately, that information is not shared. Nobody wants, there's no process for putting out there things that were well done, but, quote, did not work. So much knowledge is there, and it exposes now to the danger of others repeating the same thing. We already know that's not going to work, but they don't know, and they do it all over again. So I think it's a very good point that perhaps with AI now and other tools, that too would help the advancement of research if so-called failed experiments could be shared and analyzed.
We're visiting with Dr. Michelle Sadelain, the Herbert and Florence Irving Professor of Medicine, Director at Columbia Initiative in Cell Engineering and Therapy. Doc, I've had data folks tell me that they believe that there are cures for cancers that lie within the data today. And because of what you just talked about, this frustration of bringing all of these data elements together, that they really believe that AI is going to be an incredible answer, that because of the tool to be able to search across this, if we could get the reporting done. And they really do believe that there are probably cures for cancer today that resides in the data.
Well, I don't know that there are cures that are reside there already, because I would think that people would jump on it if they see an opening, but I do agree that there's certainly a lot of knowledge that would help speed up coming up with cures. But let me add that the AI may well be extremely helpful in summarizing a lot of data, but the data is what counts the most, and it has to be produced somewhere by someone who is competent and who knows what they're doing and who's conducting good experiments, well-designed, transparent in all of how they were performed, and then willing to share the data. And it's only then that the AI can jump in and, as you said, hopefully accelerate the pace of discoveries. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. If people out there have an interest in finding out more information relative to CAR T-cell therapy, where would they go to find SAME?
Oh, well, for clinical trials, there's a U.S. government website called clinicaltrials.gov that lists all the clinical trials taking place in the United States and many worldwide. And that includes CAR T-cell trials and all other trials. There are societies that also provide a lot of background information and sometimes also information on clinical trials. The American Society for Gene and Cell Therapy, ASGCT, is one. Another one is the American Association for Cancer Research, AACR. And then there are university websites, for example, at Columbia University, where I work, that also provide background information that can be useful to patients and anyone who's interested in these novel therapies.
Well, Doc, again, congratulations on, you know, to you and your team, folks, in the recognition of the 2025 Merkin Prize in Biomedical Technology. I find this stuff all very, very interesting. I served on a hospital board in excess of 20 years, and it's just amazing, you know, the advances that we've had in medicine, especially over the last, really, during the time of the pandemic to where we are now. We have taken huge leaps in many, many respects, and it's really exciting.
I agree. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much. It's Dr. Michelle Sadelain, Herbert and Florence Irving Professor of Medicine, Director, Columbia University Initiative in Cell Engineering and Therapy. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So a press conference was just had relative to the shooting at an ICE facility, immigration facility in Dallas. The shooter who opened fire at that facility had, no surprise here, anti-ICE messages written on them. This onslaught on federal law enforcement officers has to come to an end. And in this case, no law enforcement officers were hit. They haven't identified who actually was. There's one dead and two wounded. It's being investigated as a targeted act of targeted violence by the FBI. And there's more information to come. But here we go again. And for whatever reason, leaders don't believe that their rhetoric in and around the ICE officers, immigration officer, Border Patrol officers plays no role at all, according to them, in what's actually happening. Daily, over 1,000% increase in assaults on federal officers. When does this end? We'll be right back. Folks, how'd you like to win tickets to the next Saints game? Win the black and gold, take on the New York Giants in the Caesars Superdome on October 5th. Score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. And enter one time every day for your chance to win Saints-Giants tickets from Saints Radio, WWL, and have a great time there. The food's incredible, the drink as well. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., and he has a special guest, John Renthrop, a New Orleans native entrepreneur and brewmaster who founded Cajun Fire Brewing Company, the second longest continuously operating black-owned beer brand in the world. We'll talk about that and more when we return. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.